Romans 12:1-2, which we know very, very well, in which he says here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, we're calling tonight this teaching, what are you offering to the Lord? That's the question. Now, what I've just read there with regard to Romans 12:1-2 is part of the cost of discipleship. We commit our lives to the Lord. We see Jesus's requirements that we are to put our hands to the plow and not look back, but to look forward, to look to him, to seek the kingdom. We are to count the cost. All of that is part of discipleship. And then another part of discipleship is the offering of yourself, which fundamentally really is the offering, the surrender of your will, because that is what pleases God above everything else, is our will when we obey him. And so the only way that this is going to be accomplished and work through us is by us offering ourselves, our entirety, as we read there, on the altar, so that God can have his way in our lives. And this in many ways takes us into the deeper life, because this is where God begins to work with the whole being of body, soul, mind and spirit. Our whole being, he begins to work, he begins to surrender, he begins to work by the Spirit to bring every part of us into his perfect will and plan. And he does this also through our relationship that we have with him. So it is always done by love. It's always done as we seek him, as he works in us both to will do for his good pleasure, as it says in Philippians. But this is the part of the cost of discipleship. And the reason being is that we present ourselves to God on this altar, and we stay on this altar by the grace and mercy of God. It's just not a one-off thing, but it's now a consecration. It's a place with God. It's an altar, a consecration, a place, spiritually speaking, that God has already prepared for each one of us, that we offer up ourselves before the Lord. Why is this? Because it disposes us to start living the supernatural life found in Christ Jesus in us. This is the ultimate work of this sacrifice, so that we decrease, that he increases, so that his life, his power, everything that he is and was and always will be, will start to live in and through us. This is ultimately what this is to accomplish and achieve. And the way he does this is by the renewing of our minds. We're already redeemed. We're already a new creation. We have the new birth within us, but our minds and hearts have to be worked upon. And so this offering up, as we've shown in verse 2, is that our minds may be conformed, worked on, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. In other words, you will know the will of God in your life every day that you walk with him. You won't question. You will know the will of God like having a simple childlike faith. You're not questioning, is this of God or isn't this of God? Because you are being led by the Spirit. You know the Spirit in your life. You know how God is working in your life because he is taking over your life. And this, of course, is where our rest that we have by faith as well. But this releases us to start living this supernatural life that can only be found in Jesus. And this is why we are not trying to be godly. This is why we're not trying to be good, trying to overcome, trying to resist the devil, trying to read the word, trying to pray, trying to come to church, and so on, which sadly so many do. And maybe we have done it at times. This whole walk is not about trying. As we're so often told, it's about being before God. It's what he is doing. You see, the supernatural should become natural to us by God's grace and mercy. And this should be manifested in our everyday experiences and walk. We shouldn't marvel or be blown over every time something supernatural happens. This is what should be. This is what I should be experiencing. This is what should be part of my life every day when I walk with Jesus in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And if it means that God is going to use me to lay hands on somebody, that they will recover and raise up from their bed, or whatever it would be, that is what the walk is about. Or if I'm to speak a word of wisdom, or I am to go that extra mile, or I am through a trial to love my enemy, all of this should be supernatural working in our lives every day. This is what makes it so exciting, so wonderful, so other than what the world can give by walking with Jesus each day. And yet the question is, brothers and sisters, is this your experience? Or is this why you're still suffering with depression, moodiness, up and down? One minute you're believing, next minute you're not. Come right back. Romans 12:1-2. That's where it is. And this is why God is always looking for faith in us. Because we're told that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so our faith, each day as we walk with God, works and creates this supernatural walk that we are to have. Now this supernatural walk that we have is all about the life of Christ being revealed through me. It's not my achievements. It's not because I am good, because I read the word 2 hours a day and I pray 4 hours a day. Now that can have a place. I'm not saying it can't. But what I'm saying is my supernatural walk is on the basis because of Christ in me, the hope of glory. And brothers and sisters, we should expect that. We should believe for that. We should yield over to that. It's not about your achievement. It's not about, oh, the Lord, I was able to embrace my enemy today who's really done me wrong. It was the power within you, the love of Christ in you, that enabled you to be able to embrace your enemy today or whatever. And if we don't see that, if we don't experience that, then we are never going to experience the love of God reaching out to a dying world. That should be our experience. And this is why God is always looking for faith. And every day when you get up, you have the opportunity to walk this day by faith. And you can start with by the fact that Christ will live his life this day through me. This day is not about me. It's not about my will. It's not about what I want to do. It's about the life of Christ in me who wants to live his life through me. That's what it's about. That's what we should be coming into. This should start to be our thinking, our heart, our desire, our praying. And when we start to move into this, we're not only going to see our faith being quickened, but also our confession is going to change. We're still confessing the things of the world. We're still confessing what the world confesses. All its negative, its fears, its anxieties, its doubts and so forth. We've been redeemed to be above that. Whatever the world is saying, God is saying the opposite. Whatever your circumstances are saying, God is saying the opposite. However you feel or how you felt today, God is saying the opposite. How do we know? Because the life of Christ in you is speaking. He is alive. He lives. He has a voice. And his voice is the word of God. And that voice is speaking into your life every day. It's just we don't hear it. And this is why the mind has to be renewed and changed. And that's the work that God is doing in us. And this is why faith will always act when it is required. Faith won't decide, is it God? Isn't it God? Should I do this? Or shouldn't I do that? Or should I step out of the boat? Or shouldn't I? Faith will know what to do. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory, knows exactly what to do through you each day. And he never makes a mistake. Isn't that wonderful? What a revelation that God is bringing us into as we're maturing now as the sons of God, as the bride's making herself ready. Hallelujah. This is why we should be offering ourselves up, keeping ourselves there. Every day is myself being offered up to God. Today is my offering. Here I am. I don't get off the altar. I'm on it. And each day, that offering, that fragrance comes up before the Lord. And who is that sweet fragrance? It's you. It's me. And he will always accept us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But faith will always act. Faith will always go to places where no one else will go. Faith will walk its walk when maybe at times you are the only one that's walking and nobody else is with you or others have left you. We should still be offering ourselves when everyone else has left us. Oh, Jesus knew that one, didn't he? Let's turn to John 6 and verse 66. John chapter 6, and verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Many, it says, and of course we know that they were offended by the word that he preached. But the point I'm making here is that faith, Christ in you, will walk. And if Christ in you, who is walking through you, decides to walk on his own tomorrow or next week, then he will. And he will say, my grace is sufficient. And Jesus had to experience this. You see, God will often change our circumstances to see if we will go on with Jesus. This is why our circumstances change. We like to think, well, my circumstances now, I like what they are, I feel comfortable by them, you know, I'm enjoying my Christian walk and everything's going fine. But you see, the Lord has a way of changing your circumstances. And he has a reason for it, because he's going to see whether you're going to still continue to walk with him. Because that's what the Christian walk is about. It's daily walking with the Lord. And that's why he'll never let us get used to circumstances. He'll never let us get used to the nest that we're in, where we've made it all comfortable, and this is my little home and my little nest. Suddenly he can make it very prickly, because he's wanting you to fly. God has a way of changing our circumstances, and sometimes they can change within an instant. At times it can be lonely, this walk. But he still says, whatever the circumstances, he's still saying, follow me, as he says in Matthew 4. How do we accomplish this? How do we do this? We all look back in our lives at what Jesus has done, and we each of us have a testimony. But we can only give God all the glory and all the praise, because that was the power of God. That was the life of Christ in me, walking in and through me to be able to endure and overcome. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. And it's good sometimes to look back on that, to see how God has brought us through. Because this is an encouragement. It's to show us that, yes, he is with me. Yes, he is leading me. He is guiding me. I know I could never have done that in myself. I would have run away. Or I would have compromised. Or whatever it would be. It's good to reflect on these things at times. But you have to offer up yourself. You have to continually offer up your pride. We know that God's been working that area, and he will still continue to work in it, that area. Why? Because it's all about offering it up. It's surrendering over. We know that pride is that independent spirit, where pride wants to do it itself. It doesn't want to rely on God. I know what I'm doing. And yet, that's what we surrender. And then we find we're tested in the area of pride, or that independent spirit. And what do we decide to do? Well, he works with us, and we finally surrender it. It's the altar. Give it up. Because you can never argue with God. You can't fight with Almighty God, and yet we find ourselves at times still doing it. But it's as he works with us, so we then find ourselves yielding, bowing the knee, and surrendering it. Because you see, pride, if not dealt with, will always say, I know best. I know best because I've done this. Or I'm 60 years of age and I've walked a lot in this life and I've had a lot of experience, so I know best. And we've all heard ourselves saying it and doing it. Or maybe we've said it to our children, well, I know best, and whatever it is. We don't know unless God shows us. That's the question. That's just the human wisdom. Or I know what to do because I've done it before. So leave it to me. I know what I'm doing. I'm in control, and so forth. We all fall for that one. And what is it displaying? Pride. That independent spirit. We have to learn God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, in everything. Not just some things, in absolutely everything. Everything you face, every person you meet, every circumstances, you know nothing about it unless the life of Christ lives his life through you, giving you that wisdom, the words, the power, the might, to be able to bring about the supernatural experience of God in that situation. That's what it is about. It's acknowledging that everything I encounter, everything I meet, I don't know, but the one who is within me does. And he will lead me, he will guide me, he will quicken to me everything and more that I need to know. This is why we walk in the light, as he is light. And we're told in John that that is our fellowship with Almighty God and our fellowship with each other. And that light is the light that shines in this world of darkness. And it's a light that can only shine when you have surrendered and given up everything. Then that light will shine. You cannot have two lights. You cannot have the light that you want, the light of self, pride, and the light of Almighty God. You have to decide which switch has to be switched off. And then we will begin to see these changes in our lives and things happening. Continue to offer our arguments, our thoughts, those things that try to fight against God and his will and his way. We know this one so very, very well, but it's very good to read this again in the context of what we're looking at in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that it exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, my thoughts, what I think about it, or my experience, and I know best and everything, all of that you surrender. You give it up. It says you allow it to go into obedience of Christ. In other words, your thinking, your mind, you're willingly allowing it to become captive to Almighty God, so that He will deal with it. He will remove it from my mind and my thinking, which will bring about obedience. Now, God can and will do that, and indeed He is doing that. This is why it's important to surrender your mind, your thinking, on that altar as He works by His Spirit. Those wandering thoughts, and we all have problems with that, these confusions, all of this helps us when we surrender to see clearly. And not only that, it helps us to see clearly by faith, but it works that childlike faith within us, which is what we need and what we want. It stops you trying to be clever. That's what it does. It stops you trying to be clever and wise. And the reason being is because children don't think like that. A child simply believes and depends upon its mother, its father. And so this casting down those thoughts, imaginations, allowing the Holy Spirit to renew your mind, is clearing up all these areas in our mind where we still like to be clever. We still like to be intellectually in control. That is how the world thinks. And that's what He's delivering us from, brothers and sisters. And believe me, He can do it. And He does it by Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's your offering to God. You see, our lives offered up to God means that the Holy Spirit has complete control over my entirety. So this offering up, this, what I'm speaking about, what are you offering to the Lord? You're offering your whole being, is that you are offering your entirety. Your entirety, everything about you, every facet, every fiber, everything that you are, is completely offered over to the Holy Spirit to renew and change. My word, isn't that a miracle? This is why the new birth, salvation, walking with God, the new life, is an absolute miracle. We're transformed, translated into a new life in Christ. And He's going to work with every area of our lives. That is what it means to be a new creation. And He expects us to believe for that. You see, our lives offered up to God means that He has that control. Now, the ultimate goal of all of this is, of course, to bring obedience. That's its object. That's its goal. Because that is what glorifies the Lord. It was obedience that took Jesus to the cross to redeem mankind. And so we are a type. He's the forerunner. We come after him. And so it's a type again. The same with us. And we offer up our wills, our circumstances, everything. And that is why when we offer up everything, God sometimes allows us to go through the trials and the tests to simply reveal to us that God is in control. How do you know if God is in control? How do you know the supernatural power of Christ living in and through you unless you go through a trial? You won't know otherwise. Every time everything's fine and comfortable and so on, that's okay. But it's when the trials come that that is telling you the power of Christ living in and through you. This is why you're going to come to a place, brothers and sisters, with your trials where you're going to truly praise and worship the Lord, because you're going to see that he is taking over at this point. Are you going through deep trial? Yes. There's some of us in this room are going through very deep trials. And the reason is because God is showing you that life that lives in you, sustaining, keeping, and raising you up. That is why. And circumstances will always test this. You see, I offer up daily my devotion to him. And that's what it should be. This is what our walk is about. This is what I was speaking about on Sunday, the secret prayer life. That going into your closet is just a reminder to you of my devotion, my life offered up to God. All of these tell me, as I commune with God, as I intercede, and as I supplicate, and as I meet with God, all of this is a reminder of my life, a continual offering up to the Lord, every second, every moment of the day. Because that is what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is about. Yes, you do it, of course you have to start somewhere, but it's also a continual offering. Every day is a further offering of surrender, of obedience, will, everything unto God. That should be a desire. That should be an affection within our hearts. And if you haven't got that affection, ask him to put it there. And you'll see a tremendous breakthrough. You'll see yourself doing things that you could never do in the natural. Because God knows nobody can walk this walk. God knows nobody will come into this room tonight and listen to this preacher unless our lives are offered up unto God. Unless he's put that affection within our hearts. This is why I'm so often saying we're by the mercy and grace of God. The life of Christ in me, this is where he desires to be. In fellowship with brothers and sisters. It's not rocket science. It's there if we want it. And this is why we have to give him time each day as we seek him in our devotions. And this is why we offer up our prayers, our supplications. This is why we seek him, we wait upon him, we give him time to work. It's important when we come together, even online, that we have time for this meeting. We even allow the Holy Spirit to move as he wills, and not to rush everything. Because he's doing a work, the same as he's doing a work right now. He's working in your mind. He's working in your heart. He's changing you. This word is washing us, cleansing us, because we need that. The same as our bodies need to be washed and cleansed. And there's nothing like after you've had a bath or a shower, you have that lovely feeling, that warm feeling, you know, that cleanness about you. Well, how much more when we're cleansed and washed by the Word of God spiritually, that's preparing us for eternity? These are all spiritual types that we can glean and learn from. But we must give time each day before God, not rush it. And this is why the enemy's got this life, this world, moving at such a pace, such a pace, speed. Because he knows that's how he can hold their minds. And God is doing completely the opposite with us. He's freeing us up so that we have time for him, valuable time, quality time in his presence. You know, as I was thinking about this and preparing this, I saw myself writing this down. Each of our steps of faith is an offering to God. Each of our steps of faith is an offering to God. Every step that you take and have taken today by faith is an offering to God. Why? Because we choose to walk by faith and not by sight. And God is going to continue to work and work and work with our faith till we come to this place where we're walking by faith and not by sight. Because the life of Christ that lives in his fullness in and through you and me, it is a walk of faith. The life that is in you, walk by faith, and you walk by faith. That is why the life in you is the hope of glory. And this is the only way we please God, is by living, walking by faith. Because faith will not trust in the arm of the flesh. Faith will not listen to man's wisdom. Faith will not look to the circumstances. Faith will trust God when everything else has given up. Faith will move when even your strength, it feels, has all gone. That is what faith does, because we know it's that spiritual muscle. And like all muscles, they have to be used and exercised. And you have a chance each day when you get up to exercise that spiritual muscle of faith and believe and trust God. We've got a generation today that are so obsessed with exercise and bodybuilding and so on. And yet I don't see that spiritually in the house of God. And yet our faith is that muscle of faith. Do you want to use it? Exercise it? Keep it healthy? You see, our faith walk keeps us healthy as Christians. It keeps us looking to the Lord. Faith is healthy, and the reason being is because it stops you from trusting in the arm of the flesh. It stops you trusting and relying on the world. And what did Jesus say the world is? The world is passing away. Those who love the world do not love God. That is clear what the Bible says. And this is why we were given the faith teaching right at the beginning. And it doesn't change. The reason is because God doesn't want you relying on the world, because the world is under a curse. And who is the God of this world? Satan. And it is soon to be judged. Do you want to be judged with the world? God forbid. This is why, sadly, a lot of Christians will be left behind in the rapture and will have to go through the great tribulation. so that they won't be judged with the world. They have to be purged, otherwise they will be. You and I have the great opportunity now of being delivered from this. The problem is, we still don't believe that God can do it. We're still looking, well, I know somebody who died and they were trusting God. And so it goes on. You see, the enemy is very good at trying to bring out the negatives. You leave past experiences with God. You work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Well, if somebody did die trusting God or whatever, well, they're with God in glory anyway. The question is, what are you going to do? How are you going to live your life? Are you going to yield over to that life that lives in you, the life of Christ? Because he's not going to let you down. He is your health. He is your provider. He is your guide. He is, and everything more. You see, it's very interesting in a lot of contemporary Christianity today, when you touch on the life of Christ living in you, it only ever goes as far as him leading you. In other words, they say you walk in his footsteps. Well, what happens when you don't see his footsteps anymore? That happened to Jesus. He no longer saw any footsteps, but he knew where his feet were to go, and that is to the cross. And that is what the overcomers will do. The overcomers will do great exploits. They will move, because whether they see the footsteps of Christ in the sand or not, it makes no difference, because I still walk by faith. And that is the question. So don't rely on always looking for the footsteps of Christ. Rely upon the one who walks in and through you, the one who talks through you, the one who loves through you, the one who believes through you, the one who will embrace the unlovable through you. That's what it's about. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Heavenly Father, thank you again tonight. You've said it all. No more needs to be said. It's over to us whether it's what we want. And Lord, that is why we are those daily offerings on the altar. And it's over to you. We know nothing, Father, unless you reveal it. There's nothing we can say or do unless we know that Jesus is with us doing it. That is what you're doing with us, Father. And Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you tonight, Father. We thank you for speaking life to us, Lord. Thank you for washing us with your word. All we have desired to see tonight is Jesus and none other. And I believe we have seen him. I thank you, Lord, for this meeting. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Be with them, Lord. Keep them. Bless them. Preserve them. May they experience this word yet more in their lives. Help them to overcome. Help them to go that extra mile when there's no strength there. Help them, Father, to walk this supernatural walk, bringing the life of Christ to a dying world. Lord, it appears that we don't seem to do much. We look foolish in the natural, but we just believe that this is the mind of God. Father, help us to let go of the things that we still depend on or we look to the world and we rely upon the world. Father, we want to let go of everything. We don't want to be part of this world that's going to be judged. You redeemed us from all of that. You have placed us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You have made us overcomers. You have made us destined for the throne. Help and cause us to look away from those things that still try to get our attention, that still cause that anxiety and that fear. We know, Father, that the deeper life is...
She's on.